Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. In our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah is very clear. He encourages all to come. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, eat. Come. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. Jesus Christ has bidden you this very night to come. He has encouraged you to come to hear his word, to be taught about what he has done, and to receive his sacraments. His sacraments also run very clearly through our gospel lesson, where Jesus tells a parable about a wedding feast. This is very clearly a story about Jesus himself. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. The Father Almighty sent his servants to his people to tell them that his son was coming, to tell him of the prophecy that will be fulfilled, that the Messiah would be coming to save them from their sins. And yet, how did God's people, his own chosen people, respond to the prophets? Jesus lays it out here. He tells them, it is time to come. See, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, fatted cattle are killed, all things are ready, but they made light of it. They went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. How often when we hear the call of our Lord to come to the foretaste of his wedding feast, how often do we give the same excuses? Lord, I must attend to my business. Do we really care about our Lord's call? Do we not recognize just how important his supper is? How important it is to be gathered with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to be here in his house. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. But it even gets worse than simply spurning it and mocking it. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Think about what it took to be a prophet in the Old Testament. How many of them were treated so poorly, even though they were bringing simply the word of God, a word that so many people didn't want to hear, but so desperately needed. The prophet's job was to bring the word of the Lord, to prepare the way for the Lord. And when they would do exactly what God set them out to do, they would be spitefully treated. Some of them would even be killed. And for what? For simply proclaiming the word of God to people who claimed to care about it, who claimed to be a part of that faith. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. So many distinctions can be made here. And this very clearly draws a line to the time that God would ultimately allow Jerusalem to be burned to the ground. That those who had treated the prophets so spitefully, and even killing the own son of the king, would now be punished. But it's more than just a punishment. God doesn't just leave us with the law. Rather, he shows that he is also full of grace, full of mercy, full of love and compassion. And so he tells them, go into the highways, as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In God's grace, he sends them out to all the world to say the wedding feast is here. You see, Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is his bride. And the Father has laid apart a feast for this. We get a foretaste of that feast right here in our own church. Christ gives us his body and blood, given and shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He gives it to us and he says, come. Come and eat of me. Eat of my flesh. Drink of my blood that you may have life in me. And how often we spurn that call. So God says, go. Go into the whole world. Bring everyone. Tell everyone the news. Because this is the most exciting thing that happened. The king's son has been wedded to a wife. The church is that bride. A bride that was purchased with the own blood of her bridegroom. Go and tell everyone. Bring them in that they might be a part of this feast. That's exactly what they do. And that's exactly what the apostles did. They went into all the world and they proclaimed Jesus Christ. This message was not just for a select few in the land of Israel. This message was for the whole world because Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. There's a man present who does not wear the wedding garment. He is not properly prepared. It's said that they brought in those who were good and those who were bad. But this feast changes everything. The wedding garment changes everything. Because whether you were an infant or an adult, when you were brought to the font, you received a garment, a wedding garment. Purchased not by you, but by the blood of Christ. When you were baptized, you received a robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all your sins. In Revelation chapter 7, we see that those robes were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those are your robes. Those are your wedding garments. While I could spend time talking about the traditional dress of what people would wear when they would go to the Lord's house, to the wedding feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end, I'm not going to do that tonight. Rather, I want you to focus on the garment that all of you do have on, your baptism. There are some that will simply throw away their baptismal garment. There are some that will lay it on the ground for a time, but thanks be to God, will pick it back up. But I guarantee you, that garment is yours. Jesus Christ gave it to you. Receive this garment in your baptism. When you have died and your body lies in the casket, that white garment will be placed over it to remind the world that your body was purchased, it was redeemed, it was bought, and now has the robe of righteousness. The man who refused to wear the wedding garment does not get to stay in the feast. Rather, the man, the king, has him tied up and thrown into utter darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you want to know how to go to hell? Deny your baptism. Deny that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Deny the fact that God has done it all for you. And that you've received it by grace. Deny the Holy Spirit. Speak lies about him. But if you want to be in the wedding feast for all eternity, remember your baptism every single day. Remember that you are a child of God Most High. And that the church is your mother. The church stands ready to remind you of this gift. To remind you of the feast. And to give you that feast week after week after week. Trust in the Lord. The King of all creation is the bridegroom of your bride, the church. The church then sings, Jesus, bread of life, I pray you, let me gladly here obey you. By your love I am invited, by your love with love requited. By this supper let me measure, Lord, how vast and deep love's treasure. Through the gift of grace you give me, as your guest in heaven, receive me. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.